You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
I'm Christy Boltz, and this is the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're trying to grow a great dental practice, one of the things that you have to have is great marketing. And I've got one of the premier experts on here, a friend of mine that I got a chance to meet a couple of years ago. You do not want to miss this, Christy Boltz. And we're going to be talking about some of the secrets that really aren't secrets in marketing. You just got to organize your thoughts and execute. So stick around for that. Now, a couple things. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching it, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll give the questions directly to Christy as we're shooting the show and we'll get the answers directly from her. Also, if you're watching this later on and you still have questions, add them to the feed and you'll see, we'll get back to you as best we can to make sure we want you to get the most out of this. And again, thank you for all the suggestions yesterday and even today, and I even got a few this morning on things that you guys want to see. We're lining those up, doing the best we can over the next couple of weeks. We've got quite a few people, some of the best experts in all of dentistry lining up, and you're going to absolutely love this. Love the shares, too. Right now, we're up over 39,000 followers on Facebook. I honestly don't even know how it's working. We're just having fun doing it, and iTunes, it's off the charts. But my guest today, Christy Boltz, you might remember as Christy Nation, a little while back. And now, you know, you've grown this incredible My Dental, Chief Marketing Officer concept, which is awesome. We're going to be talking about that. But as our listeners, we've got a lot of listeners that sometimes we have international. We've got young dentists watching. If somebody doesn't know who Christy Boltz is, tell us who Christy Boltz is and tell us kind of your story in dentistry.
So Christy Nation Boltz, Christy Nation, Christy Boltz, let's just go with Christy, right? Christy got her start in dentistry because she was a math teacher. I was a college math teacher at Cal State Sacramento. And in case you missed the meeting, they don't pay teachers very well, right? So my job at Cal State Sacramento was to teach all the students who math, their admission score was a contingent enrollment. So you got to take an ACT or an SAT to get into college, right? You get an English score, you get a math score. Their math score wasn't quite good enough, and the university said, oh, you can come in, and you got to take this special class. So my students were all the people who hated math, okay? So there's probably a lot of you today are like, marketing, I hate marketing. In fact, when I started my career, you know, advertising was a no-no. And so when you teach people who probably had a bad teacher in the sixth or seventh grade and they miss a couple key concepts, they hate math for the rest of their life. So you got to figure out new and exciting ways to teach. My mom's a teacher. My dad was a teacher at church. So part of that is naturally. And I started teaching students new ways to think about math. And I ran into a guy and he and his wife owned a dental accounting and consulting firm. And they said, you know, if you ever get tired of teaching, you should come work for us. And so the politics of teaching got ugly and the paycheck was terrible. And so I left and joined the world of dentistry. And then the ADA decided they were going to get in bed and start a marketing firm. And I left consulting and joined ADA IDM. Some of you remember that. Mm-hmm. And then I left there in 2008. So this is my 10th year of owning my dental CMO and helping dentists and their teams market their practices. So math teacher to marketing guru, right?
That's awesome.
A natural transition.
That's a very natural transition, right? Well, you got involved in dentistry and you've been in this, you know, wave with social media, which we're going to be talking about and everything. And you've heard all the stories that I even hear, you know, that we don't, you know, we didn't have to market, or all my patients come best from referrals. And then you also see the other side get 250 new patients. So today we're going to like kind of go there and just talk about the truth in this whole thing. But here's what I really want to know. You get to see it all. Like, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Give us kind of a state of the union in marketing for dentists. If I'm a young dentist watching this, Christy, what do you want me to know?
I want you to know the basic principles of marketing haven't changed, right? So there's always a new tool. There's always a new trick, right? So some of you are like trying to figure out, you know, can I swipe right and get more new patients for my practice? Tinder is not the marketing tool you need to be using, okay?
Right.
Those of you who are age 65 and watching this are like, what is she talking about? Tinder, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. The tools are always changing, okay? The basic principles of marketing haven't changed. Getting a new patient from word of mouth is still the best way to do it. The difference is word of mouth works differently than it did even 2 years ago or 10 years ago.
Right.
So that's what a new dentist should know. The basics are still the basics. It's like practicing. Do you have good hands and a good heart? That hasn't changed. That's probably never going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that from dentists all the time that have been practicing for 3 decades. You know, 80% of them used to come directly from a, now they still come there, but some of them come through Google and they heard from, and I'm sure you're going to give us some perspective on that. But here, I want to go back to something you said beforehand, which totally resonates with me. You said there's only two forms of currency. Can we start there? Because I think everybody can understand that. You only have so much of these and then you're stuck, right?
Yeah. So when people talk about marketing, they go, okay, I'm probably going to have to write a check, right? Here comes the marketing person. I'm going to spend some money. And as we were talking, currency comes in two forms. Money's one of them, but time is the other, right? A lot of you who are watching this on Facebook Live probably have some kind of social media presence. And when you signed up for Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you went, oh, great. This is a free platform. It's free in monetary format. Although now we know there's all kinds of pay-to-play rules. But what it wasn't free is in the time required to post and, for lack of a better term, babysit my social media accounts. So when you're out in the community giving presentations, okay, maybe you did an implant seminar last year in your community, that requires time. Probably not very much money, but it requires time. If you put together a 27-page glossy magazine that's going to be direct delivered to 10,000 implant target patients in your community, all you probably had to do was write the check and maybe let somebody come in for a photo shoot. Those are almost polar opposites, right? One requires a ton of time, not very much money. The other one requires a ton of money, but not very much time. And what do you think people always want to know? Well, which one of them works better?
Right.
Depends. It depends on the practice. There's some point in your career, if you're a young dentist, you might have a ton of time and not very much money. Mm-hmm. If you're after practicing, like you said, Kirk, for 3 decades, okay, as you're heavily involved in family and community and CE, and you don't have the time. So maybe that requires a little bit more of a financial investment than when you started.
Okay? Yeah.
For most people over their course of their career, it becomes a balance. Very rarely do we meet somebody that their investment of time, like if I graph it out, here we go, math numbers nerd, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, time, I got a lot of time, and then my time decreases. Money, I don't have very much, I have more money. It's that intersection point that we're trying to get to, right?
Yeah. What if I'm just trying to free up brain space and just try to make my life as simple as possible? Is that when you talk to an expert like you to say, hey, look, let's get all this stuff out of your brain and I'll organize it in a way that you could just be you?
Yeah, I think what a lot of people do with marketing is they say, oh, I'm going to just hand this off to the front desk, Why do I give it to the front desk? Well, they're online all day. They must know how to do this. That's not necessarily true. In fact, in many practices, you get assistants and hygienists who are really the be stealth bombers, if you will, of the marketing plan. And so for a lot of dentists, it's, I don't even know where to start, or I'm spending money and I'm spending time and I have no idea what it's turning into. When people track their results, it's not just the number of new patients. That's a terrible way to measure your marketing success, right? So really what we want to do is teach people how to look at in a very limited amount of time, right? I don't want marketing to be your full-time job as a dentist because clinician is your full-time job. Yeah. I want you to be able to spend, 30 to 60 minutes a month with somebody and go, okay, I know that's being handled. That's right. Exactly what I need to do. Or, oh, we need to change this. And then get back to the practice of dentistry and all the stuff you like to do outside of dentistry. Marketing shouldn't be exhausting.
Right.
You shouldn't go, ugh, I have to have that marketing meeting again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And you've got a lot of play here. You've got dentists that have spent money on marketing in the past, so maybe their trust is a little bit low when it comes to certain things, or they've just said, I've tried it all and it just doesn't work. So when you put all these together, I like the way you think and how we structure this. And today we're going to be talking about marketing secrets that really aren't secrets, but you gave me a great, great process. You called it TTA. Can you explain that? Like it's time tested. I mean, it's true how this all works, but take us through that whole process in marketing and what is the TTA?
Right. So like we said, the basic principles of marketing haven't changed, right? Whether we're dentists or whether we own a coffee shop or whether I'm a Fortune 500 company, those basic principles are the same. And TTA is one of those principles. So the TTA stands for test, track, adjust. See, everybody's like scrambling to write that down. They thought they were going to be really long T words. No, it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. So test, track, adjust. So people will call and say, oh, like you mentioned, Kirk, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this, it doesn't work. Well, how do you know it didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when we really start to dig into tracking, they didn't track it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other part is I can test, but if I test too many variables at the same time, how do I know which variable is the one that gauged success? Right? So on the phone with a client this morning, we were talking about different promotions on Facebook. And I said, okay, do the exact same promotion, but change the audience. Don't change anything else except the audience. And then we'll measure the results. Okay. And then the A part of that is adjust. So this happens all the time. Sometimes dentists spend 100% of their marketing dollars and time testing. You know somebody, you might be this dentist, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this. And somebody comes out, oh, this is the latest, greatest thing. We do the same thing with CE. It's like, oh, this is a cool new class. I'm going to go to, right? And I test, and I test, and I test, and I test, and then I never track it.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
The way I track it is I come to work, and I'm busy. So it must be working, right?
Yeah.
Okay? That's not a good way to track. I've got to have a better way to track.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping you're going to give us some light on this, that marketing can be scientific. Big marketers do this, is that they find a way and then they repeat it and scale it and adjust it. I think sometimes people just think, well, you just throw a whole bunch of money at things and then try a whole bunch of things and then kind of see how many new patients you get. And that's often a terrible way to look at it. We always joke that data removes all emotion. When you're looking at data, because people want to remember what they want to remember. They don't often know the real story. And when you look at data, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that worked. That was kind of a silly thing. And even in our business, I'm blown away. I'm like, that worked? And people are like, it worked great. And I'm like, that's crazy. What are some of the common mistakes when we do the TTA that dentists make that you talk about every day?
There's a ton of dentists who are probably watching who love to golf. I enjoy golf usually every Sunday afternoon after 70 or 80 mile bike ride. It's the only time I can kind of calm down and swing the club slow enough. So I'll go out and play golf with my husband, right? There's a couple ways to play golf. You can go out and you can just say, okay, I'm going to get the biggest club out of my bag and I'm going to swing as hard as I can. And I'm going to hope that it gets close. Okay. And sometimes people do that with marketing. They write the biggest check and they swing away and they say, okay, let's see if it works. The best way to play golf is with a caddy, okay? Because a caddy has played the course hundreds of thousands of times, and right. the caddy knows you mm-hmm. and knows the course. You need those two things. So great marketing knows both the demographic of who I'm targeting and the practice that I'm trying to promote. Not all marketing works for everybody,
right?
So if I'm going to track something, the number of new patients is a terrible way to track that. But that doesn't mean I have to have an uber complicated dashboard of all the case acceptance dollars. Listen, I'm a numbers nerd. We can get caught up in the data, mm-hmm. right? But the funny part about playing with a caddy in golf, or when you think about your marketing, is the data doesn't lie,
right?
But what you need is you kind of need somebody who looks at the data and also understands your practice and goes, okay, wait a second, we just need to make this little adjustment. I don't need to go buy a whole new bag of golf clubs. I just need mm-hmm. to make this slight adjustment. And it's funny, when we do workshops or webinars or classes, if I show a group or an audience somebody else's data, it's really easy for them to say, oh yeah, they should get rid of this and this and they should do this. For some reason, when we look at our own data, we're emotionally attached to it. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, but Frank Jones is the magazine rep, and I don't think we can tell him that we're not going to do the ad again. There's all this emotional attachment that comes because it's our own practice. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's the hardest part of adjust, is to remove the emotional connection that we have to our own practice, which can be hard.
Right.
It's like, wait a second. What do you mean this isn't working? It's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And that's why, you know, having a good caddy or a good expert by the side will just help slap you around a little bit, which is kind of nice. Now, can I ask you this? Since you might say it depends. Everybody's got their own thought on this, but if I'm going to do the TTA, is there a certain ratio that you're looking for? $1 spent that you get so many back? I mean, what if I was going to do this without an expert, which I'm not going to recommend, what would I hope to get in doing the TTA?
So there's only three ways to market. Okay. And each of those ways comes with an expected return on investment. So let's talk about those, because the ratios are really easy. Okay. The first form of marketing is what we call interruption. And that's what most of you are probably going to call advertising, mm-hmm. radio, TV, print media. The name inherently tells you what it is. I'm interrupting the customer from whatever it is they're doing and trying to get them to pay attention to my message and agree that that message is for them and decide now is the time and call to make an appointment and actually come in for the appointment and then accept treatment. That's mm-hmm. a lot of hurdles, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So the rate of return for every dollar I spend, I want $3 in production to come back to the practice.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the important point about interruption marketing too, is we have to address something called conversion. And you've heard about that when you've read something like Flip the Funnel, where what we really want to understand is, if I get 10 leads from any form of interruption marketing, my expectation is that I'll only convert about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And of those 50%, only 50% of them are going to say yes to treatment. And you can see very quickly how this funnel gets very, very narrow.
Right.
All right. Right. So again, we've alluded to this a couple of times, but the number of new patients is a terrible way to measure success. You've got to track the production and track the spend, right? So I spend $3,000 on a magazine ad. In the rate of return that we just talked about, 1 to 3, I need at least $9,000 to come back in production for me to continue to do that. Now, dentistry is different than Amazon, okay? I don't put a crown in my cart and check out that same day. So for most people, when they measure production, they measure over a year.
Okay.
Right? I don't measure the new patient in that particular month. Well, Christy, I spent $1,000 on advertising and the patient didn't do $3,000 in that same month. Look at it over the course of a year. Okay?
Okay.
So interruption marketing and its rate of return is 1, 2, 3.
Three. Okay. Good to know.
Now, other end of the spectrum, marketing with meaning, mm-hmm. where the marketing itself enhances the life of the customer. Word of mouth falls under marketing with meaning.
Okay. Explain that, because I like that. Marketing with meaning, you talk about word of mouth. So there's three ways: interruption, conversion, and marketing with meaning. That's the third way. Is that what you're suggesting?
No. Interruption, marketing with meaning, and we'll get to the third.
Okay. All right. Well, then expand on marketing with meaning.
All right. So marketing with meaning means that the marketing enhances the life of the patient. So anything I do within the four walls of the practice, right? A nice gift for my new patients. Okay. A drawing where it's July. And if I come in and I drop a ticket in, I can win a gas grill. Things I do in the community, public relations, all that kind of stuff. The good stuff I do for patients, my annual patient appreciation event. Okay.
Right.
1 to 25.
Love that. And why is that? Because it's a little deeper. It's a little more significant. It's probably easier to do, less spend on it.
Much lower spend, right? Mm-hmm. It's also going to take the most time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And because I develop a relationship with those people, relationship-based dentistry, relationship-based case acceptance, I get a much higher conversion rate. So that back to that conversion, 90%. 10 patients come to me from marketing with meaning or from word of mouth. 9 of them are going to show up. 9 of them are going to say yes to treatment. 9 of them are going to stay with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you kind of go, well, wouldn't I always use that kind? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you get enough new patients from that, totally. Yeah. You would always use that kind of nothing else, right? Yeah. So what happens is a lot of dentists get to a point in their career and I say, did you have a patient appreciation event last year? And they go, what? Okay. And they've never done one of the very basic things simply because they've been too busy with these other forms of marketing. Usually sometimes when you step back for that test, track, adjust, you figure out, wait a second, if I just did this, this, and this, I could probably improve my word of mouth by 2 or 3 or 4%. And that's all I need to get to the growth or the maintain level of the attrition patients I'm losing to get me where I want to be. Right?
Right.
Not everybody wants to double their practice in a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And while you're saying this, my mind is blown up because now you're going to introduce words like retention. These patients are going to stay longer. They're obviously going to spend more. You're going to add more to their lives, as where probably most dentists spend so much energy on the attract than they do the retain.
Yeah.
And I don't, everybody's got a number on this one, but how much more do you spend to attract a new one than retain an old one? Everybody's got a theory on that.
A lot more. Sometimes up to 10 times as much. Right?
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
It's always funny because you'll have a client and a dentist might say, you know, Christy, I don't think we can give away $50 Amazon gift cards to all of our new patients. Right? Or we can't give them to existing patients, but we will give them to new ones. Right? So some funny things happen, but when you really sit down and look at the data, it's, wait a second, a new patient in our office is worth $1,500 in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll get Kirk to get out his trusty calculator, mm-hmm. right? And if I want a return of 1 to 25, mm-hmm. that means I'm willing to spend up to $60 to get that new patient.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a $25 gift card is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is. It okay? is.
I mean, like, have a drawer of them that your front office staff can just hand out, mm-hmm. right? On the phone with a client this morning, we're talking about things we can do for back to school. And I said, most of your patients are working moms. When they go back to school, their life gets more complicated. So once a week, you're going to start to buy dinner for a working mom. Dinner is on Dr. Blank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Dentistry is not sexy to talk about.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, we're having dinner tonight. You know, Dr. Smith bought us pizza. Who? What? Your dentist bought you pizza? Hey, that's marketing with weaning, where the marketing enhances the life of the customer. Now they're out talking about you and yeah. your word of mouth grows.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. That's a brilliant idea. Well, you know how it is. I mean, and let me speak in all fairness to a dentist. There's too much to think about. I mean,
way
every day,
there's
too much to think about. You're thinking about a patient. You're thinking about teeth. You're thinking about the lab case coming back. You know, got to replace some technology here soon. I wasn't even on the radar to buy meal for, you know, our most important patients. So
yep.
I love that.
Okay.
Love that.
So now we've got these two kinds of marketing and we know that interruption marketing has a really low conversion rate, 50%, and a relatively low return on investment of 1 to 3. And on the other end, we've got this thing like buying dinner for a patient. And that's marketing with meaning, with a return of 1 to 25. And a conversion rate of 90%. So there's something, it's kind of Goldilocks. There's something right in the middle. And that's permission marketing. Okay. And that's exactly what it says, where the customer has given you permission to market to them. The internet is the best example of this. Email is the best example of this. Okay. So if I go online and I type in best dentist in Madison who takes Delta and is open on Friday, that's going to result in some searches. That's not somebody who's opening a magazine and going, gosh, I really hope I see an ad for a dentist who's open on Friday and takes Delta.
Right.
Okay. And we could have that whole insurance conversation, but that's for another class, right?
Right.
Okay. People ask about that because they don't know what else to ask about.
They don't. They don't have a clue. Yeah. Okay.
So interruption marketing allows us the opportunity to present our message to somebody who's looking for our service, but hasn't necessarily picked us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It doesn't come with the endorsement that marketing with meaning comes. So its rate of return is 1 to 10.
Okay.
So now everybody who's watching the show is in their mind thinking, okay, what did I spend this year on the internet? What did I spend on Google AdWords? What did I spend on Facebook ads?
And I'm thinking about that. I'm struggling. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man.
And you multiply that by 10. And did I get that much back in production?
Okay.
Okay. Now, every practice is different, guys. Mm-hmm. Every practice has fees that are different. Okay. In network, out of network, if you're a true fee-for-service practice, depending on the competition, depending on your procedure mix, depending on the case acceptance rate you get. So there are people who get a higher rate of return than that, than those three examples that I gave, 1 to 3, 1 to 10, and 1 to 25. What's most important, okay, if you forget everything, everything from today's class, you forget test, track, adjust, you forget Christy, you forget Kirk, you forget everything, but you remember that the most important thing is to measure you against you.
All right, explain that, because I like that too.
Because, okay, so this is a great example. So I know that Kirk has finished an Ironman, and I know that I've finished an Ironman. Should I compare our finish times?
No, never.
Probably not, because he probably finished hours ahead of me, all right? Because his experience is unique. And your practice is unique. So if you've never measured this, right now you don't know if your return on investment is good or bad. It just is. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you go in and you go, okay, we spent $10,000 last year on direct mail. Christy says that should be 1 to 3, 30,000 in production. Well, looks like we got 90,000 in production. Mm-hmm. Right. So your advertising currently is getting 1 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to continue to do that, don't go, oh, well, at least it got 1 to 3. What should you consider a success?
Yeah, making progress yourself, because
1 to 9 or better, right?
Absolutely. When you ran your first marathon and you dropped it by 3-4 minutes the second time, you're like the happiest person in the world. You're like, that was so good. You know, and that's really where your real fulfillment comes, is when you are against you. And that's an important thing, because we spend so much time, especially with what's on the internet, feeling bad about ourselves. You know, I don't know who said it, but somebody said years ago that comparison is the thief of joy when we're looking at other people's lives. And I mean, because really at the end of the day, if we're making progress, I love that. Love it. So, but obviously you got to have the data to be able to track it and see how
right.
you're
so comparing. A lot of people have never even looked at the data, right? So if you look, and I've seen this too many times to count. Historically, what did we say? Advertising doesn't work as well as the internet. And I've seen practices where their internet return on investment is terrible compared to some of their others, because their internet presence needs adjusting. Okay? So if you're sitting on the same website that you were sitting on 24 months ago, it probably needs adjusting. But if you're not looking at it, if you're not looking at traffic and phone calls and form submissions, we're finding that over half of the dentists that we work with, they're getting more form submissions than they are getting phone calls. You know, all this time we spend on training, like, okay, we're going to answer the phone this way. How many classes have we attended and given on that?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then somebody fills out a form and boop, and they go to the form abyss. Mm-hmm. If your website doesn't have an autoresponder set up so that that person who fills out the form at 11 o'clock at night gets an email, dear Christy, not hard to personalize it. Thanks so much for filling out our form. Here's a little bit about the practice. Can't wait to meet you. Our hours are this. Here's some great things people say about us. Just the fact that you've responded is going to make you stand out from the three other forms they filled out in 2 minutes that same night.
Right.
Right. So pay a lot of attention to phone calls for the same reason we talked about earlier. I can't put a crown in my cart at 11 o'clock at night and buy it online. Someone's going to figure out a way to do that and print out their coupon and come in. Okay. Eventually it's going to happen. But now, if I fill out a form, how can your practice stand out as the best practice just from that form?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And some of you are going, I don't even know if our website has a form to fill out, right?
Yeah. Or,
I don't know how many we got. So go find out. Okay. And don't make that your job. The easiest way to test, track, and adjust is to divide up those responsibilities among your team. And the team members that are listening today, because I know there's a lot of them, go, hey, none of that was in our job description when we got hired. Mm-hmm. Well, years ago, dipping x-rays was a part of job description and digital wasn't, and we figured out how to do it. So as the marketing space evolves, as social media evolves, the job descriptions of our team members evolve and their participation in marketing changes. And when I get the whole team involved in marketing, what I can say, okay, this person's got this and this person's got this, it becomes much easier as a dentist to manage. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're never going to do it. You're going to do it once a year when you sit down with your accountant or consultant and go, oh, right?
Right.
Test, track, adjust is something that should happen on a regular basis. Not as often as flossing, but more than once a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get this question all the time. Well, how do we do that? Do you recommend just picking your most important metrics? But you also want to make sure that you're truly tracking the source of that. Now, that's trickier than ever, wouldn't you agree? Because patients aren't uniquely coming from one source all the time, are they? Like, what's your experience with that?
So we always tell people that you have to use the patient decision source as the final say, which is when you're on the phone or when the patient fills out the form and you ask them, how did you hear about the practice? That's what goes into Dentrix. That's what goes into Eaglesoft. That's what goes into that. But in today's technology, whether you're using something like call tracking metrics or CallRail, whether you've got Google Analytics, where you have some big data platform like Dental Intel, there is tremendous information available if you want to use it. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to be the one looking at it, right? So at the end of the day, I can trace a new patient. I can trace the phone call that I listened to where they called the number, meaning that they came from Facebook to my website after they heard about me from their friend Mary Jones on Facebook. And then they call and say, yes, Mary Jones told me about the practice. Well, what that tells me is that's how Mary Jones had to learn about me. She learned about me from the friend on Facebook and then went to the website and then called. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about marketing secrets that aren't really secrets, that's not a secret. Mm-hmm. People hearing about you, all social media did was make the coffee shop and the PTA meeting a lot bigger.
Right.
And make it immediate. And now as marketers and as practice owners, we have the ability to track that and know better than ever before who those people are and how they talk about us, and then do things like give them dinner, hey, or send them away on a staycation with their kids to the water park. Hey?
Yeah.
The second commandment of marketing that's not really a secret is know thy patient.
Now tell us more about that, because that's one of my favorite. It's been taught for a long time, but a lot of people don't spend any time doing that.
No, because it's hard. It takes time, right? All this time that we spend, most of you who are watching, again, have a relationship-based practice, which means you're coming in and the exam is not 10 seconds. Okay. There's a process where you get to know that person before you get to know their teeth. And the question is, what do we do with that information? Because as practice owners, as business owners, what we want to do is we want to simplify the marketing process. Okay. Every new patient gets this gift, right? And after you've been for a patient for 10 years, you get this gift. Oh, wait a second, Chris, you were supposed to give anniversary gifts? Yes! If your patient has been a patient for 10 years and you don't send them an anniversary gift, that is bonkers!
Yeah.
Okay? So if you don't know your patient well enough to know what they like, okay, then they have no business being your patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it doesn't have to be expensive. It has to be intentional. All right? I'll say that again. It doesn't have to be expensive. It has to be intentional.
Right. Because if you took the time to learn and you were thoughtful, that's what goes the farthest. Correct?
Right. Because people want to know that their healthcare provider cares. Guys, the bar in healthcare for service is so low. Mm-hmm. Okay? The last time I went to my GP's office, and I love my GP, I sat in the reception area and got called in like this, Ms. Nation! And then they closed that glass door. And then I go back and I had to wait in the, you know, consult room for 25 minutes. I'm so sorry, the doctor's running by. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Okay.
Right.
Contrast that by a visit with my dentist, and they go, oh, how was the rafting trip you and your husband took down the Grand Canyon?
Mm-hmm.
They remember stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And then on the way out the door, hey, we know you're going to be traveling for a couple months. We gave you 20 of these little small tubes of toothpaste, not just the one we give everybody else. Like, that's right. Not that hard.
Right.
But it's a matter of know thy patient. And enable your team to do this. The assistants, the hygienists, the front desk, that's a cohesive effort. That's not driven by the dentist. You've got to bless it from a budget standpoint.
Right.
But it's just a habit that needs to be developed.
Yeah. That's so funny. Reminds me, you know, it's not the top that's crowded. It's the bottom that's crowded. It's just crowded with a lot of garbage. You talk about the window. I love it when you go to a medical health provider and they go, can I have your credit card right away? And they swipe it before we get started. And then they go, follow the orange line. I'm like, oh, that's good. The orange line to where? Till it ends. And I'm like, oh, thank you. That's so good. Thank you. You know, you're right. There's so much opportunity here in know thy patient. What are some other things that, you know, as a dentist, even if you've been practicing for a while, that you're like, oh my gosh, I knew that worked, that really aren't secrets that we should be doing in marketing?
So remember, we talked about a patient appreciation event. Mm-hmm. Have a patient appreciation event at least once a year. Okay. You can have it for the entire practice. And for some people, that's overwhelming and they go, well, how is that even going to work? We have 5,000 patients. If that sounds too overwhelming, pick a select group. I've seen people do it. Hey, we're going to celebrate all our patients who've been 20 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen people do it as anybody who did more than a $20,000 case. Okay. I've seen people do dinners. I've seen people take people to baseball games and put them in a box. I've seen people do cooking classes. Again, know thy patient. So appreciate your patients. Okay. Little things, big things, everything in between. Something as simple as a patient of the week. Okay. Everything from a $25 Starbucks card. I've seen people give a card that was signed by the whole staff with a $5 Starbucks card. It's something. I've seen people bring out a big trophy and they put the patient's name on it and there's a crown and a feather boa and a photo. Make it your own.
Yeah. Okay?
Everything from a patient of the week to a patient appreciation event. What are the ways that you can thank your patients for being patients?
Right. Okay? That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, love that. Love that. Now, when we look back at the process as far as interruption, conversion, did we get to number three yet?
Interruption, permission, and marketing with meaning.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Again, my brain is on overload with all this stuff. This is great stuff. And then any other thoughts that you have just on marketing or just the future? Here's one of my questions. I always want to know this from you. What do you think the future is going to look like? Is it going to look any different? Is it going to take on a different shape? You know, we're being cautioned now with all the social media stuff. Twitter is difficult. I hope Twitter dies a miserable death. But, you know, it's just like there's so much to think about. Is it going to be any different in the future? Or is it going to be a little bit more of the same, but maybe in different mediums? I don't know.
So I think the trend that will continue is the methods or avenues that you have to communicate with patients will continue to grow.
Right.
Okay. So in the old days, the only way for us to communicate with a patient was in person in the office or face to face out in the community. None of these social channels existed. None of these digital channels existed. Do I think Facebook's going to be around in another 20 years? I have no idea. Okay. But trying to get a potential patient, let alone maintain an existing patient's attention, is going to get harder and harder.
Yes.
Okay. I pay attention on social media to the things, both people and companies, that I have an offline relationship with. I don't think that's going to change. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I will continue. The Tour de France is on right now. Hey, I'm going to follow the Tour de France. I'm going to watch it on TV. I'm going to DVR it because I don't want to see, you know, all 4 hours. Don't have time for that. Hey, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to interact with the rider who's currently in last place, okay, who broke his clavicle the first day and said, I'm going to keep riding. And for every day I ride, I'm going to donate $100 to the Velodrome in Houston. And on Twitter, he said, does anybody want to join me? And now he's up to $105,000.
Wow, that is awesome.
So there's different methods and avenues that I can choose to communicate with the things or people I have a relationship with. Do I think people are going to always love their dental practice on Facebook as much as they love seeing picture of their grandkids?
No.
No. So I don't try to shoot for that. You know, we hear a lot of talk about corporate dentistry and trying to compete with corporate dentistry. You're never going to compete with their budget. Mm-hmm. They're always going to have more money to spend. Is corporate dentistry going to grow larger? There's different schools of thought. Some people say, you know, it's been the same percentage for the last 20 years. Some people say it's going to double in the next 20. What is not going to change is you'll never be able to outspend them in currency. Mm-hmm. Where you can crush them is time.
Right.
Right. In the relationship and community-based practices. Mm-hmm. So the future, I think, still depends on that relationship. But the ways that you're going to connect with those patients are going to change. I don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I did get a question from my good friend Deepak that is there any type of gift card that has more universal appeal with patients? And what is a decent amount?
The most universal type of gift card these days is Amazon.
Amazon, I was going to say.
Yeah. Because I can buy anything I want, right? And when it's Prime Day this week, I can get double. Okay?
Yeah.
As far as the value is concerned, look at your average new patient value and then work those ratios in reverse. I hate coming across as cheap, but I don't want to spend more than I have to. So we've tested $25, $50, and $100 gift cards in different markets. Some are effective at the $25 level. If you're trying to attract people who are going to do $10,000 worth of dentistry, a $5 Starbucks card probably isn't going to cut it, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, Amazon. Amazon's the way to go.
I love it. I'm going to use it for everything. Now, I want you to talk about what the chief marketing officer concept is, because I love that concept that you've coined and created for your company. What exactly is that?
So in business, most companies have a CEO, right? Mm-hmm. And as a dentist, you're the CEO of your business, right? You also end up wearing the hats for the chief financial officer and the chief marketing officer and human resources and all the, we've seen that graphic where the dentist has all these different hands. Mm-hmm. And so what I figured out a number of years ago was when people needed help with marketing, they called a company and the company sold them something. Okay. And they sold them whatever it was they were selling without asking some questions about return on investment and active patients and what we were doing as far as our word of mouth factor, right? Mm-hmm. Have you figured out your word of mouth factor? Active patients divided by the number of patient referrals last year, that's my word of mouth factor.
Wait, go back there. Word of mouth factor. Say that again.
Word of mouth factor. Super easy math, guys. It's only division, I promise. No variables, no calculus, nothing. Here we go. Okay. I've got 2,000 active patients. That's a number a lot of you have. I go back and I look at my new patients for last year, and I count up that 200 of them came from patient referrals. 200 divided by 2,000 is what percent, Kirk? This is like a mental math question.
10%.
All right. So that means 10% of my active patient base is referring. Mm. Okay. So when we talk about marketing with meaning being the best way to do it, most dentists can't tell me what their word of mouth factor is. So if you already have a 20% word of mouth factor, that's exceptional. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just by the nature of healthcare, you probably have a 2-3% word of mouth factor if you're doing nothing. All right. But go in and figure out what your word of mouth factor is, because it might be that you're just short a couple more new patients. And if you can grow your word of mouth factor, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Love it. Love it. And so when you now go back to how that relates to the chief marketing officer, when you're taking a look at that, what you're basically saying is that you're not so much outsourcing, but you're bringing in an expert to take over this brain space to make decisions. Because you said to me at the beginning, you don't really sell anything,
right? Nope. Okay. I'm not interested in selling you a new $10,000 website or a new $25 brochure. Most practices don't have a chief marketing officer. Mm-hmm. If they have a marketing person, it's either somebody who works at the front who this got added to their job description, or when their practice is large enough, they go hire a marketing person, and the marketing person knows a lot about one thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know a lot about Facebook, or I know a lot about email, and I don't know a lot about dentistry. So clients hire us to be that chief marketing officer, the one who looks at all this stuff that you already have and says, okay, we need to go do these three things. Yeah. And just like a CMO would report to the CEO, I meet with those doctors once a month and say, okay, now these are the test, track, adjust that we need to change. And I'm going to go do that for you. And then we're going to come back in a month and meet again. Okay. And in many cases, my job gets attractive because I save a lot of people money. They go, oh, I had no idea I had all this waste. So we trim the fat.
Yeah. Right?
And then in other cases where they really need help is getting their team kind of on board the marketing train.
Right.
Right. So I'm never going to be a full-time employee of the practice. I can't be there every day taking the pictures, okay, and handing out the dinner and giving out the Amazon gift cards. But what they need is just somebody to say, hey, these are the 25 things we're going to go do. And mm-hmm. here who's going to do them. And then we're going to report back and go, oh, yep, we did them. And this is what happened. And
yeah.
And it's cheaper than if they were to hire somebody full time in the office. And I like to say, I would like to think that I know a little bit more than somebody that they would hire just off the street.
Amen. If you're watching this, you already know that's true. Now, Christy, if I'm a dentist, you'll do all the tracking for me, or how does that work? Or you'll help me track, or you'll give me a system to track. Like, you're not just going to say, figure it out and then send me some numbers.
No. Where we usually start is we gather about 5 reports from the office and okay. we get on the phone and have about an hour phone call and we say, these are the things you need to know. And then as each month goes by, our clients know, hey, I had this many site visitors and this many phone calls and this many forms and this many new patients. And we have this nice, neat, tidy little funnel. And we just look at the same thing every month. And is it improving? And is it not improving? And why not?
Yeah. Right?
And it's really simple. Test, track, adjust. That's yeah. all it is.
So can I send you all of my reports and just have you take
Yes, yes.
I'm going to take advantage of it.
Fax. Could yeah. you put them in a fax machine?
I don't even think we have a fax machine anymore. So that's good stuff. Now, I'm so crazy grateful. I've got like 4 pages of notes and work to do on this already. Now, if I'm a dentist watching this, Christy, you said one of the things we can have them do is if you're sitting there, you're a little confused, you need some help, you offer a free consultation. They can go to dentalcmo.com. And do they sign up right there, or how do they get a hold of you? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to reach out to you.
Yeah, you're going to go to mydentalcmo.com. There's actually another company, Dental CMO, that builds websites. So don't get confused. So if you get to My Dental CMO, you're going to see my face on a bike. You're going to see some cupcakes. You're going to see a dental chair. And there's a button there where you can schedule a free consultation. Okay. And we'll set aside an hour where we can sit down and talk. Usually we do that over the phone. Sometimes we use Skype if people want to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, we'll get to know a little bit more about your unique data, okay, and your goals, right? Because that's really what drives this whole thing. You might just need 2 or 3 more new patients. Sometimes we get on the phone with people, we tell them 5 things to do, and they're off and running.
Okay? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, I am so crazy grateful that you would carve out some time for us. This has been fabulous. We're going to have you back and we're going to talk. I'd love to have you back and do budget, because that's one I get all the time. Like, how much should I spend? And I'm like, ugh.
$1.
So we're going to have you back. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for watching today. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor and just hit the share button, share this with your friends. And then also we're going to have Christy back. So anything that you want to see from her, questions that you'd like to see, topics, we'll line that up and get that all together. And keep sending us suggestions for other shows that you still want to see too. And Christy, again, I'm so grateful. This has been fabulous. So,
So happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Till we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.